Today, breakfast with ANZ. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctly Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wilkes. Hello, Joe. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. So you had fun breakfast, I understand.
Yeah, well, I've managed to squeeze in a couple of things this week. I had a trip to Tauranga, and on Wednesday morning, a good friend of mine kindly invited me to a breakfast meeting, a business club breakfast, and very fortunately, the speakers who were lined up were representing, well, not just the ANZ, but the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, so I thought, I better go to this one.
All right, and you got the captive audience.
Yeah, well, there were about probably 200, 250 people there, and well, I think I mentioned in one of our previous posts, I tried to bid on a dinner with Grant Robertson a few weeks ago, and then I fell asleep, didn't look at my phone for a day or two, and I just got blown out of the water by somebody paying ridiculous amounts of money. But for $30 to get the chance to go and do a Q&A after a speech by ANZ, I thought, I'd take that. Silly not to, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely, and you get a free breakfast too.
Well, breakfast was very good, actually. But no, the speaker that they had prepared for us, Martin, was Sharon Zollner, who is the chief economist in New Zealand at ANZ. And I thought, God, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to talk about some of the things that are intriguing me at the moment. So, so I sent Sharon a little LinkedIn request on Wednesday morning about 7 o'clock. I thought, I'm up. So I'll just say, look, Sharon, I'm coming. It'd be really nice to have a catch up afterwards. And here's a request to LinkedIn. And then she didn't turn up.
Scared her off, Joe.
No, but we did get the alternative, which was a really, really lovely young chap who, Michael, I won't go any further than that, who did a speech. And the speech was on behalf of the ANZ, but Michael has had experience at the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, and he's been with them for 2 or 3 years, but he's on secondment at the ANZ now. Now, I'm not sure why someone from the Reserve Bank would be on secondment at the ANZ.
Don't ask that question.
Poacher
and gamekeeper, I sort of thought, but no, I didn't say it. No, I didn't say it. Honestly, I didn't.
Well, I was going to, but you said it for me. So he was there. He did a very, very nice speech about the state of the economy. He was talking about the slightly weaker GDP and expectations that the GDP will be in the low 2% rather than 3s and 4s that New Zealand's got used to. He did a very nice overview of we've got low unemployment and interest rates are low, and it was quite, you know, it was good for the, you know, the people there, and I think it's quite encouraging that there are more business leaders and business people in New Zealand who are wanting to find out what's going on. But what he didn't mention was why we had our rock star days, and it was because we were growing household credit at 9% a year in 2016, and our GDP was growing at 4.5%. So a lot of our growth was all about the massive increase in household debt that year. And nor did he mention the changing pace of credit growth, which is still growing massively, although the concentration of who's taking on the debt is filtering into a smaller pool of the market. So, I thought I'd take the opportunity to ask a couple of questions afterwards, which we videoed.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting.
So were you provocative, Joe?
No, I wasn't provocative. No, I was inquisitive.
Okay, fair enough.
So, we asked a couple of questions, and the kind people in the room were good enough to give me the mic. Then somebody came up, and they had a question as well, but thankfully nobody else did. So I had a series of questions that I was able to ask. Joe Wilkes from Digital Finance Analytics. Little question, you haven't mentioned today the impact of the change in the pace of credit growth. I wanted to find out whether you, ANZ, and others were looking at the work of people like Mr. Richard Werner and Steve Keen.
So one of the major positives about this cycle we've been in so far is that credit growth has been far more sustainable, so growing around kind of 5% across most sectors, which is about in line with the economy. And that's in contrast to what we saw before the global financial crisis in New Zealand and kind of globally, where we had growth in credit from 15-20%. So one positive aspect there, part of it's been the kind of the regulation which has come through. It's seemed more sustainable, and that'd be a positive for next time a crisis does hit. We are structurally in a better place in terms of the current account and all the regulations around the banks as well. So credit growth being more sustainable, which, yeah, that should be
And are you looking at the work of people like Steve Keane, Richard Burnett, Martin North?
Not specifically,
but
I haven't
chatted
about it. Sounds good.
He responded very, very well, I have to say. I was impressed with him, and I had a nice chat afterwards. But I think that I got a few people in the room thinking about... actually, this is credit growth that's been growing our economy, and that maybe the overall understanding of macroeconomics has been a little bit too led by the banks. I asked him about negative interest rates, and he was not dismissing it. It's been discussed at the RBNZ. It's been discussed at ANZ. And actually, the day after on Thursday, Sharon Zollner, who didn't make breakfast with me, was the focal point of a conversation that the press have reported on of an expectation by ANZ that the cash rate will be at 0.25% by May next year. So they're anticipating three more cuts.
I'm still sitting around 65. There's the burden from health and superannuation on the government. But there's also a burden on consumers as well that are still working because those dependency ratios increase and expenditure increase from here. So the amount of people who are in the working age is getting smaller relative to dependents, so those that are older and those that are younger. So potentially that's something that's going to weigh on kind of saving decisions and spending decisions going forward. And that's something that's been in train for a while. The scary thing is that a lot of economies are starting to turn at the moment. Japan already got there 10 years ago, and you can see the effect there in terms of low interest rates, deflation, debt burdens. But China and the rest of the developed world is about to tip as well. So the scary thing that I've been looking at recently, the one-child policy is about to hit China in terms of the demographics there.
I'm not sure if that's because I was there, but... I also took the opportunity, because I think it's important, to highlight the recent discussion around the future of cash that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand have been having up until the 31st of August. And I couldn't help myself. So I said that, well, I've been involved with Martin North and John Adams and Robert Barwick of the CEC. And we have been questioning the proposals that have been put forward in Australia about the ban on cash transactions over $10,000. Is this your view, or is the ANZ's view, I asked Mr. Michael, that this is why we're having this, because there is this expectation of negative interest rates. I think he's a bit uncomfortable.
One final little question for me and then I'll shut up. But, I've been involved with a campaign in Australia because there's legislation that they're trying to get through currently to ban cash transactions over $10,000. Now, my view is that this is a preparation for negative interest rates in Australia. It's not anything to do really with money laundering and the other things that have been suggested. And we've just had our recent consultation, I think, finalised on the 31st of August, about the future of cash in the New Zealand economy. Have you got any further information from a man on the inside of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, and also with ANZ?
So nothing on the inside. for some academics, prospective moving away from a cash society is enticing and that for unconventional policies, negative interest rates, that cash hoarding is a big constraint on how negative rates can go. So if you have digital cash, then you could impose as negative interest rates as you want, really. So there are a few academics who talk about the potential to eliminate cash, and then you have more scope for much policy to move about. I don't think for New Zealand, based on some of the earlier research when I was at the bank and that has been published, there wasn't a movement in favour of banning cash. They still noted there's some areas in society that still heavily use cash, and actually cash use, or the amount of cash in the economy, is increasing over time, in contrast to, say, Sweden, where it's actually declining. So I think there still is an important place for cash, and so I don't think that will change inside time soon. That's kind of the way that Future and Cash project is going. And in terms of the need to ban it to get creative with unconventional policy, I imagine it'll be sort of Japan and the more desperate central banks that would look to that.
And the RBA?
The RBA is, their communication so far has been a lot more reluctant about negative interest rates than the New Zealand central bank, in terms of some of the comments that Adrian Moore has made. There are natural limits and kind of effective limits to how far interest rates can fall. But I guess, the money laundering is a massive project that's been going on for a while. In New Zealand there's some concern, particularly around the regulatory impacts of that, constraining particularly money flows around the Pacific Islands as well. So, there's lots of things on that side that need to be worked out.
Thanks, Michael.
I also asked him whether or not the Reserve Bank and ANZ were aware of the work of Steve Keen, Mr. Richard Verner, and Martin North of Digital Finance Analytics, and he did say that he hadn't personally heard of any of those three people, and I said, well, perhaps it might be time to do a little bit of investigation. So I've tried my best, Martin, to put the message out there, and there was an audience of very intelligent people there who hopefully will go and dig a little bit deeper and start looking at some of the stuff that you're letting people know of.
Well, it's very interesting. And, we had a big report here in Australia published by the Reserve Bank here, authored by Dr. Tulip. Right, and Dr. Tulip
yes.
is quite a well-known academic, but also works in the Reserve Bank. But what's interesting about that model is that it was completely excluded credit as being important in the way that the model works. Right?
Yeah. So,
and it's remarkable to think that is the way that the Reserve Bank in Australia thinks about the economy. In other words, credit not important. And as you know, and Steve Keen, has said previously, and I continue to say, to me, credit is one of the most critical elements in the overall mix to understand how the economy is doing what it's doing and where it's been and where it's going. So I wouldn't be surprised to find that in New Zealand they have a rather similar myopic view.
I find it quite interesting that the senior economists at banks, and I have met a few now, so I've met senior economists at some of the Australian banks, I've met senior economists of former senior economists at the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, and you're right, credit doesn't seem to factor in, but I think part of it is because there's a lack of education about the way that money is created in the modern economy, the fact that it is debt being written that creates the money supply, and it allows somebody to sell a house at $1 million to cash out a bit of the debt that somebody else has taken on to buy it, and then go and buy their boats and the cars or whatever. So it's quite astounding. We'll keep trying to further that education. And I would encourage people to go back to the post that you did several months ago, which is The Art of Money Creation. And it's one of the better posts that DFA have done, which hasn't actually had the airing that some of our more flamboyant or jokey posts have had.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, the Art of Money Creation, we'll put the link up, really does go into this fundamental point that if you understand how the economy really works, which is that effectively banks can create as much credit as there are people who are willing to borrow it, right? And that basically then flows through the economy, which means effectively that there is no limit, in theory, to the amount of credit in the system. And, of course, if you see credit dying – the rate of credit growth, the credit momentum, slowing, then there's a very strong signal that effectively home prices will continue to fall and the economy will continue to slide. On the other hand, if credit goes up, the reverse is true. But of course, the problem with credit is that it's debt. Debt needs to be repaid, and there's a limit to how much debt that people can actually handle. And that, of course, is the fundamental issue that we keep dealing with and have to keep coming back to because people keep forgetting it.
Yeah, well, the RBNZ published their C31 data for the end of July, at the end of August. And you can see that there is this increase in the amount of higher loan to value lending taking place. The first time buyers, the higher loan to value increase was around 10% more high loan to value lending to first time buyers than there was this time last year. So it's all very, very obvious that there is a massive requirement at the moment to try and replace the weakness of the economy with debt from the young to facilitate the retirement aspirations of the older generation. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens if we get to 0.25% by May next year. And I think I predicted in our last post that I thought we'd be at 0.5% cash rate by the end of the year. Mm. And how this impacts that balance of, do the first-time buyers want to borrow it? What do the older people do in a very low interest rate environment? And where does the balance kick in terms of, is there going to be more pressure on the sellers of property over the buyers who, all the evidence at the moment points to the fact that buyers are slowing down and holding off.
Yeah, and look, the last point to make, Joe, is that you've got to ask the question, why is it that all of the banks and bank economists around the place are talking rates down? Because they're actually all doing it now. They're all saying, oh, we should go very much lower, you know. There's a reason, right? And the reason is partly, if interest rates are really low, banks will be able to write way more loans. And banks rely on volume of new loans being written to support their profitability. So they're talking their own book, right? The second point is that no one is worrying sufficiently, in my view, about the impact on savers. So in Australia, we have 3 million households who are reliant on the income from term deposits. And as interest rates go lower, effectively term deposits get crushed. And so all of this focus on credit and driving credit to drive the profitability of the banks is having this spillover effect on those trying to save and trying to live off income from savings. And so this whole thing is skewed by this same desire to grow the bank's books. And no one that I've seen has written in any of the media that I've seen as to why it is that the banks are talking rates down. But that is the fundamental reason.
Yeah, well, the banks have in Australia and New Zealand carried on like there was no GFC, and that the lending has been ridiculous. The regulation that should have happened in 2009-10 just didn't hit the Southern Hemisphere, or it didn't hit this part of the Southern Hemisphere. They must be absolutely shitting themselves.
Yeah, and that's the point. So, yeah, whenever you hear a bank talking interest rates down, ask yourself the question, what's in it for them? Because it's blooming clear. Joe, good to talk to you.
Take care, mate.
See you later. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.